May it please the Lord to bless us together this morning as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 4, and we'll read verses 3 and 4. The second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 4, and reading verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The whole word of God, really from Genesis to Revelation, is a word which describes to us the difference between those who are the people of God and those who are not. And every one of us here this morning comes into one of those categories. We're either those who are blessed and those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, or we are amongst those who do not. And the Word of God is very searching and it is very dividing. And we today are wonderfully blessed with the Word of God, that we are able to read the great truth of God. And as we read the great truth of God, may it speak to our hearts. And so as we have this statement here, if our gospel be hid, that means the gospel that the Apostle Paul and the apostles preached, and of course that all the servants of God preach, and the gospel which is set before us so clearly in the Word of God. But if our gospel be hid, we may say, well, I can read it. Yes, we can read it. The great question is, has it been hidden from our souls? Because if so, the truth is, it is hid to them that are lost. We draw the conclusion. There are those who are found, and there are those who are lost. And those who are found rejoice in the truth of the Word of God as it enters into their heart, and it produces a wonderful situation. That is, they have a change. They have a new heart. There's an amazing difference. And it's not known until the Spirit of God has given us that change. Otherwise, the gospel is hid. It's hid. It's hid today from the majority of the world, the great truth of the gospel. What a blessing then, and how we all should be so concerned that the gospel is not hidden to us, but it is that which has set our souls free, that which has brought life into our hearts, so that we have the evidence that we are born again in the Spirit of God and looking ahead to the time when we must leave this earth to realize that such blessings will be eternally ours in glory. Now we live on this earth, and again I say this, for such a short time. And the devil's aim is to try and lull us to sleep so that we think the only important things are the things of our natural life, what we shall do at school, at university, at work, perhaps in retirement, all these things, and we think of what we should do and how they will benefit us. But the great question must be with reference to the life of God in our souls, that whether we are amongst those to whom this gospel has been hidden. It is such an important consideration to be able, by the grace of God, to carefully examine our hearts to see whether we do possess that life of God in our souls. And the evidence of it will be the light from heaven, the light of God, will have shone into our hearts and shown us who we are, what we are, where we are. What a great need we have of a Saviour. But it won't stop there. It won't stop there. The work of the Spirit of God, my friends, leads us to the glory of the gospel, which is to reveal Christ to us as our Saviour. So that's when we know that the gospel has not been hidden. It's been revealed to us. What a blessing it is. And it's an amazing blessing. And it's an eternal blessing. And we have so much to thank God for if the Holy Spirit has come and shown to us the Lord Jesus Christ as the only one that we can rely upon, the only one that we have a hope in, the only one who has taken away our sins. And to realize then the gospel of the truth of God, which points to the Saviour in his sin atoning death. Perhaps you young people might think, well, you know, what does to atone for our sins mean? It's a word which is very familiar to the people of God, and you might be interested to know that it didn't really exist before William Tyndale did the translation of the Bible. And of course, from the Greek in this particular situation, and it was obviously a phrase which was difficult to put into English, and therefore he produced this word, atonement. And it's quite obvious, if you think about it, what it means. It means at one ment. And therefore, it gives us the wonderful picture that through the death of Christ, his people have been made at one with him, united to Christ. And we can never be united to Christ if we are outside of Christ. We can never be united to Christ unless we know the Lord Jesus Christ has taken our sins away, has died for us, and by that glorious and wonderful action, we understand this word, atonement. Well, this morning, what a blessing if you and I have been made aware in our souls that the Lord Jesus Christ has atoned for our sins. If that has not been so, then the truth is, at the moment, the great truth of the gospel has been hidden from us. We may be familiar with the word of God in an outward saying. We spoke to the children the last time I came, and this time, about two senses that we have, and the senses that we've considered are the eye with seeing and the ear with hearing. And we really have a double situation there, because naturally we are, unless we're born deaf, we hear and we see with our eyes. And you and I need to see with our spiritual eyes and to hear with our spiritual ears. Now, this blessing emanates from God. We've all been blessed with natural life. We all need to be blessed with spiritual life. And if we're blessed with spiritual life, then you see, our eyes will see in a spiritual way the great plan of salvation, and our spiritual ears will hear the voice of God. The Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. And therefore, we must look at this verse and really look into our own hearts. Oh, it's a wonderful thing if the Holy Spirit awakens us to the need of salvation, so that we're able to say, yes, I was dead, I was lost, and now I'm found. Have you been lost? Have you been found? Well, blessed be God if today you can praise God for that great truth, for that great blessing, for that great favour, to know that you have been found. Yes, we've all been lost, and some remain lost and end up in hell. But those who are found are blessed with a new life, the God-given life, and therefore no longer is this gospel hidden from them. Well, then says the Holy Spirit, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And the apostle expounds this truth in the following verse when he says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Well, what are we told here? The God of this world. Who is the God of this world? Well, really, it's the devil, isn't it? And all the things that he brings before us, that he wants us to bow down and worship, and to turn us away from the things of God. And he is a very subtle foe. He's very clever at turning us away from the truth of God. And we find then that our spiritual eyes have been blinded. Blinded. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. So what does that lead us to? It leads us to this, doesn't it? Those who believe and those who believe not. That's not very difficult to understand, is it? But all of us either believe or we believe not. And we should not just think in a casual way, well, that's, I understand that. You might understand it with your natural mind, but my friends, do you understand it with your spiritual mind? And have your spiritual sight and your spiritual ears, and therefore the effect is to make you tremble before God in case you haven't had your eyes open or your ears unstopped, but you are still in this condition that you've been blinded. Blinded the minds of them which believe not. We no doubt hear very much, don't we, about the need to believe. Well, so it is, so important to believe. And you look back and you realise the many accounts in the Word of God where we have such statements as that. You may remember the very beautiful account that we have of the Apostle Paul when he was sent to Philippi to preach the gospel, and he didn't say, well, I'm not going there. No, it's a bit of a tough place to go, I'm not going there. He went and he preached the gospel, faithful, and what happened to him then? Well, he was put in prison. He was beaten and he was put in prison, you see, we're told. And when the master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive." Be aware today, my friends, you know, we're hastening in our country and in many countries of the world to a situation where it may be unlawful to believe and to receive the truth of God. Don't think these days of liberty will ever continue. Bless God for them. But here we have, you see, these people in this day and age wanting to stop the preaching of the gospel. We teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up against them. Don't we see it today? The multitudes rising up against the minority of Christians, minority of true Christians, and trying to silence the gospel. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them for preaching the gospel, just think of that, for preaching the gospel, many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Now, the Lord's work was to appear. And it's good for us to realize that we worship the same gods today which appeared in quite an amazing way. And we have it here. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made them feet fast in the stocks. So here was a jailer to whom the gospel had been hidden. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. You see, God can do great things. God brought an earthquake. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. See, the devil can't control things. God does. Remember that. God is in control. Blessed be God. And so we're told then, the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, he'd been charged with keeping these two people very fast, especially. And seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." He called for a light, sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And Paul brought them out and said, "Sirs," "what must I do to be saved?" What do they realize? They realized they were lost. What had happened? The gospel was shining into their hearts. What did the apostle say? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." There had been very clearly a conviction in the jailer's heart. He was under the blessed work of the Holy Spirit. He knew he needed to be saved. And he'd asked the question, "What must I do to be saved?" There's only one way. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same truth today. But it's not just a question of people coming and saying, "Oh, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." We have to realize we're lost. We have to realize we have a need. And it's only then that we can come in a right way, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're thankful that we have such a word as this. And they said, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord. Here was now the apostle and Silas. What a wonderful change. Here was liberty. They were able to preach the gospel to this jailer and his household. Oh, he had to go down to Philippi. He had to be oppressed. He had to be beaten that the gospel might come to such people as this. We have a sovereign God. We have a God who moves today. What a blessing if he's moved in your heart and my heart, perhaps brought situations to bear where we've been brought to realize our lost condition and have been caused to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then perhaps have received then the gospel as it's preached to us, as the apostle came and they spake unto him the word of the Lord. They didn't just leave him there and say, okay, that's all right. No, they preached the gospel to him and to all that were in his house. What a blessed time it must have been. And the jailer was a changed man. They took the same hour, the night, washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. It was an automatic condition, situation. Here was this man. And what had Paul preached? He clearly preached baptism, hadn't he? We're not told in so many words, but quite clearly he had. And therefore, the jailer and all his house were amongst those who believed and were baptized. So we see there the wonder of this word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is so important for all of us today to know that you and I do believe. And there's a reason we believed. And if we have believed, there's an outworking of that belief. It's not something we just hide to ourselves and no one knows about it. You see, there was an outward working. And they went forth, therefore, and were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Well, here we have this word. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them. There was their mind blinded, but now there had been a change. Blinded the minds of them which believed not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into their hearts. Ah, the wonderful gospel had shone into the jailer and his household's hearts. So there was a wonderful effect, wasn't it? The glorious gospel, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. Well, the question is, isn't it, for all of us this morning, has that gospel shone into our hearts? Has it? You've got to answer the question, you know. You've got to answer it. And don't think, well, I'm a bit young, I needn't worry about it. You don't know if you're going to die tomorrow. You do need to answer it. You do need to know whether the gospel has shone into your hearts. So here's the apostle writing now to the Corinthians, spelling these things out in some detail to them. And what a good thing it is if it's spoken into our heart so that we truly bow down before God and ask the Lord, is it revealed to me, Lord? Do I know? Do I know the truth? Do I know the Lord Jesus Christ has come and has died for me? Do I realize the wonderful favor of this or not? Well, it's a good thing, you know, if we have the evidence of this. Again, we have God's servant Isaiah. You know, he wonderfully blessed, was he not? And he tells us in the 43rd of Isaiah, it's a very beautiful chapter, because it starts off, but now thus saith the Lord. Don't forget, the whole word of God is really thus saith the Lord. And what a good thing when the thus saith the Lord speaks to our hearts. As thus saith the Lord, not the word of man. You see, I can preach as the word of man. But if the Lord applies the word, it's as the word of the Lord. And that's the difference. And then it comes into our hearts. And then it affects us. And then we know It's the work of God. And so he tells us, but now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Well, that's the great question, isn't it? To know that you and I are redeemed, that you and I are amongst those who possess this blessed work of the Spirit. And the apostle then tells us, sorry, the prophet then tells us, ye are my witnesses. All those to whom the gospel has been revealed, all those who by the grace of God have believed, are witnesses. We should never forget that. What a privilege it is. What an amazing blessing to think that you and me as sinful people are categorized like this. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, Almighty God, speaking to our hearts in this way. Saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Saviour. Isn't that a wonderful statement? It is to the church of God, those who are born again in the Spirit, rejoice in such a word as that, and are so thankful for it, to know that we are amongst those blessed by the Holy Spirit, who the gospel has not been hidden to. It's been open to our spiritual understanding, so that we are numbered amongst those who believe me, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this morning, are we amongst those who believe? You know, the prophet tells us a few chapters further on, in that well-known 53rd chapter of Isaiah. I hope it's well-known to you. And the prophet, he commences with these words, a question. And it's always good to have questions which we have to answer. He tells us this: who hath believed our report? There are those who will believe it and those who do not believe it. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The work of God revealed, his work in our hearts. So this morning, there we are, all of us here. How do we answer that question? How do we answer it? You've all got to answer it. All of us have got to. Who hath believed our report? Have we? Have we not? You've got to answer before God. And if you've not believed the report, and the report is, of course, the Word of God, that which speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for sin. We have the report in the Word of God. The whole Word of God is the report, really. Do we believe it? Do you and I believe it this morning? Is it that which we rely upon, the promises of God, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them? Now you may say, well, why did you read that chapter in Exodus this morning? I don't see there's any relevance. Well, the relevance is very simple. It's good, isn't it, when the Word of God has very simple evidences. You remember there was Israel with a real problem, facing a situation. They didn't know how they were going to be delivered. And they were, the Red Sea in front of them. What was going to happen? What was going to happen? Well, Moses told them. What did Moses say? He said, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them no more forever. May the people of God have a today in their spiritual life, when the Lord came and comes and speaks to our hearts. Here was a day, naturally, when Israel were going to be delivered. How was it going to happen? The Lord was going to appear. In our little life, sometimes we think, how is that going to happen? The Lord appears. The Lord appears. He told Moses. What did he do with his rod? Yes, he stretched out his hand over the sea. Very simple, wasn't it? And the Lord worked. The Lord worked. And not only did Israel go across the land, the sea on dry land, but also, of course, the Egyptians thought they would follow. Yes, but you see, the Lord, he was watching. And the Lord watches over you and me, my friends. And the enemy sometimes can be destroyed. They can be moved. They can disappear. So suddenly, here they were. The Egyptians were destroyed. And we read together in that last verse. It was a very beautiful verse. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. And that was the evidence. Now, have we got an evidence in our life? Not, no doubt, as dramatic as this. It may be dramatic, I don't know. There may have been a wonderful deliverance in your life. And if so, has it enabled you to believe on the Lord God, to fear his name as that great Almighty God? Well, we have that. That's why I really read that account this morning. And then, following on in the Old Testament, I'm sure most of you are familiar with the account of Daniel. Daniel, of course, was a man of God, but Daniel still needed God to appear for him. And it's a good thing, therefore, when we realize that the Lord did appear for Daniel. And that was a frightful prospect, wasn't it? Because he was told that if he didn't bow down to the idol that had been set up, then you see he'd be cast into the den of lions. No, sorry, he wasn't to pray, was he? He wasn't to bow down and pray to any other than Darius. And, well, he refused to do that, and therefore he was cast into the den of lions. What was going to happen? Fierce lions, hungry lions? No. The king now was a concerned man. He realized how foolish he'd been in making a decree. And just think that sometimes, you know, he did things because of his pride. That's really what it was about. How wonderful to have all the people bow down to him. Be aware of your pride. Very dangerous. Can lead you into many snares, dangerous places. Well, Darius was concerned, and we're told he went to bed and he didn't sleep. He got up early in the morning and he came to the den and he cried to Daniel these words, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" Was there going to be an answer? Daniel said, "O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." And what did the king say? Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Why was that? We're told, because he believed in his God. So, my friends, today, we need to be given that grace to believe in God in natural things in our lives. We need God. You children need God to help you in your exams and your places at university. You need God to help you. Believe that the Lord God will help you. Daniel believed that the Lord God would be with him, and he was. And he was delivered. Don't forget, we have the same God today. The same God delivered Daniel. Daniel was only a person like you and me, no different. Just the same. And yet God heard his prayer. He believed in the Lord God. So what a wonderful thing today. If you and I can come in this way and indeed believe in the Lord God. And so in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest. And this is the real central part of this. The light, when the light shines, the light from heaven shines into our heart. Blessed be God if that has done so. And you must answer before God this morning. I can't answer for you. Has the light shone? Has the light shone? The light from heaven. Because what does it do? It reveals the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, and that it should shine unto them. The glorious gospel of Christ. Again, when the Holy Spirit works in our hearts, it's not just a theory of the gospel. It becomes a real gospel. It becomes a glorious gospel because we realize that the Lord Jesus Christ has died to atone for our sins and that we have a hope through his death of the great gift of eternal life. Whereas all our sins are forever washed away and that it is well with our soul and by his grace we shall spend eternity with our Saviour. And you'll be able to say by the grace of God, tremendous thought, isn't it? My Saviour. The one who has died for me. Well, then you see the gospel won't be hidden. It'll be revealed. And you'll rejoice. And you'll bless God for such a great truth of that. Well, may it be so today, Remembrance Sunday. May you have a remembrance of God's goodness and of God's favour, of God's love, of God's grace, and to go on your way rejoicing, praising God for his goodness toward you. And so we have these words, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Amen.